done.
Awesome. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I had to like go comply to that being recorded. Well, welcome everyone to LH1 Live for the month of May, and May the 4th be with you. And so excited you're spending your Star Wars holiday here with LH1 Live. I'm Jessica Loomer. Andy Marks is running late, so hopefully he will join us soon. But in the meantime, I just wanted to kick off May. There is a couple quick announcements I wanted to share and have a couple topics for us to kind of talk about. And then we're going to go a little rogue and open it up again. So a couple things I did want to share is that you just brought up a really good topic, is that finding the link. I think that's Jules. So the link is actually the same link that we've had since March. So please make sure you're like bookmarking the one dial or the one click phone number or the link. So this will be consistent. So at least you'll be able to come back and find us for the next one. The other thing that's really important is for all the other regional calls and affinity calls. So like employment that's coming up, or your Pacific Northwest call, or your California call, or all the calls that are coming up within your region or within your interest group, those all use the exact same link and phone number. So definitely great. I actually just saved it as a contact. And I just tell Suri to call LH1 Live. So it kind of makes it super easy to kind of have that always in your back pocket. So definitely do that. You can actually save, if you hold down on the one click, you can save everything and be able to pop that into your contact list. But
I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah. And it works out great. So then you don't have to deal with like the hash or the pound signs and the different meeting IDs. So kind of just makes it super easy. I actually learned that from Howard. So a lot of cool stuff coming up, and I have a cool topic to be able to share, but before we dive in, the hottest thing to be able to share of excitement is conference that's coming up. Marie and I have been working feverishly. Hi.
No. We can hear you both.
Oh, we can hear you.
Oh. Perfect. Oh my God.
Hope, I don't want to call you out, but you're not muted. Hope. Hope, you're not muted. Yeah. Mute. Yeah. Hope. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Hope?
Am I not muted?
Not muted.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
No worries.
No worries. All right, there we go. I was like, just in time, your sister. So Marie and I have been working really hard to work on conference and be able to pull a really dynamic schedule together. So I'm actually going to toss it over to Maria to kind of talk about sessions and things we have planned for conference, and just kind of open it up to see if anyone has any questions, and just kind of see what plans people have for conference. So Maria, want to kind of share a little bit of what we have planned?
Yes. Hi, everybody. It's Maria from San Diego, and we have been working for months on putting a really great agenda together, as Jessica said. The conference, if you haven't noticed my many social media posts, which I'm sure you have, is coming up June 9th, 10th, and 11th, and it's going to be held at the JW Marriott Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. The conference itself is actually two full days, the 10th and the 11th. There is a mixer for everyone is welcome the night of the 9th, which is Thursday night. Kind of an icebreaker, get to know folks, see who's there. That's always a fun way to kind of kick off the conference. We have a lot of great sessions, and I'll breeze through a few of them so you can get an idea. I just posted a little session sneak peek in the group, but we are going to have two Living with LH1 sessions this year. We typically have one, but we've decided, since it's such a fan favorite, we'll have two. And that's where folks, be it affected carriers, parents, partners, you know, children of affected parents, talk about their personal stories and journeys of when their family became, or because it is a family thing, became diagnosed with LHON. And it really is a wonderful panel to listen to get a real feel for what each of these different players, if you will, in the family go through. And it's something that everyone walks away with. Wow, you know, one of the stories really resonated, or you folks just feel like they're not alone, whether you're, like I said, a parent, a sister, a partner, or another affected, you definitely can relate to these stories. We also have a session called Games and Gadgets for LHON Life. And that's where we're going to share some of our favorite games and gadgets that we have found useful for affected individuals and families. And to add more fun, we are actually going to have a raffle. I call it the G&G raffle, Games and Gadgets raffle, to where we are going to be raffling off many of the featured items that we're going to have for that session. And it can be anywhere from bump dots to Uno games to talking clocks to, helpful items in the bathroom. So again, that's just an added layer of fun for that session. And we'll be doing the raffle during the session. We are going to focus on some things to help everyone. So I don't want anyone to think this is always about the affected, because it's not. And we're going to have a couple of sessions that are going to be based on mindfulness strategies for everyday life. And that's going to be led by Robin Lanzi. I'm not sure if she's on the call, but she's a mom who has an affected son.
She is on the call.
Okay, Robin's on the call. And I've read her outline, and it sounds amazing. And again, we all can use some strategies to kind of get through the tough times. And she's going to be teaching us some of those, along with Jessica, on that session. And we also are going to have a creativity and coping session, which is going to be all about journaling and writing as a form of therapy, if you will. Yes, affecteds, we don't whip out journals and just start writing or anything, maybe like we used to, but they will be covering different ways that you can incorporate writing into a form of coping and therapy. They're going to be a lot of open discussion, so there's not going to be a lot of writing, but some ways to write give yourself prompts, different apps that we can use for journaling, again, which would be easier for folks with vision loss and things like that. So that's going to be a really great session as well. Again, it's something that everyone will get something out of. We are planning to attend the banquet this year, which is Friday night. We will have designated tables for LHON families, which will also happen at lunches. So we'll have lots of opportunity to network with each other, get to know the other families. We also, I know I'm kind of rambling, but we also will encourage networking, say after hours, if you will. One of the funnest parts about being at a conference is actually getting to know other affecteds. If you're affected, getting to talk to other spouses, partners, family members, maybe other people that are kind of your same age, because it's that we're not alone in this. There is support amongst each other. And we love getting together after conference. Saturday evening, we don't have any plans. Like I said, Friday, there's the banquet. We plan to try to find a place somewhere in the resort where we can actually just hang out and get to know each other more, create those bonds, communicate, connect. Because trust me, the folks you meet at conference become people that you are bonded with for a very, very long time. And there is just no experience like meeting others that have gone through what you're going through when you came into the LHON world, which we all didn't expect to. We all didn't want, you know, I'll just say personally, I don't want to be here, but you know, if I have to be here, this is such a wonderful community, and being together at a conference once a year is just takes it to a whole nother level of that connection between each other. So if anyone has any questions, please post on any of my post in the group anything about the conference hotel registration. One thing I do want to say about the hotel, and I don't want people to panic, because if you're still thinking you might be able to go, please do. The hotel group discount rate deadline is May 5th, and that's tomorrow, meaning you will not be able to get the discounted rate after tomorrow. But there are plenty of hotels within minutes of the resort in Phoenix. So you can stay at any hotel, because you'll just come onto the resort and you'll pretty much just be there all day and hang out with us, that kind of thing. So I don't want anyone to be deterred by this deadline they've put on us about the hotel. But again, any questions, any concerns, please post or private message me, and I will absolutely get it answered the best that I can for you. So we're about a month out. So I'm really hoping we get some more folks to register. We already have a really big group coming, a good group, and the more the merrier.
Awesome. I love it. And I love, there's, you covered so many good topics of everything. That's kind of a good preview of conference. And another thing I love is that there's really something for everyone. Like, all of the sessions are really inclusive of everybody, whether you're a spouse or a loved one or a brother or a sister, or you are affected. There is so much to really that everyone can kind of take from. So I think that's also really cool. The conference is always amazing. It never lets us down. So super excited for it to be in Phoenix, my old stomping grounds, and be able to bring kind of bring some home back to me. But LH1 and second home is always going to be great. So looking forward to seeing everybody. So thanks, Maria.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Awesome. Okay, so something I wanted to kind of change up a little bit is just kind of talking about involvement and the other, like, other organizations and things like that. There are so many cool organizations, obviously, out there related to blindness or so many other things that, like, really kind of, you know, get people pumped up and really empowered and motivated. So I wanted to kind of share a brief story of where I've been the last couple of days, and then open it up to, like, what other organizations other people are part of, just so we can kind of start cross sharing that. I think that's super cool to kind of talk about. So this last or Sunday, a couple of days ago, I flew out to Washington, DC for the AFB American Foundation for the Blind's Leadership Conference. And I just got home this morning, and Denver was rainy and cold. So I was like, oh, bummer. But what was really cool about the AFB conference is the presentations were out of this world. It was really cool to be, I am getting some feedback. If anyone's close to somebody else that's also on the call, that would be awesome. Unfortunately, I hear my voice, which I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, that's weird.
So I'm not going to call out Pat or Kevin, but I'm going to say I'm getting the signal and might be one of, or both of you. So if either of you could mute, that would be awesome. So I don't have to mute you, because it's easier for you to come back on if you mute yourself.
Yes, please. So
if that doesn't work, I'll go ahead, Jessica. And if I have to, I'll hit mute on both of them.
Okay. Oh, yep. That worked. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you very much. So AFB conference, the whole breakdown and conferences, there's obviously a lot of conferences throughout, especially this year, they're all ramping back up again. But there was two speakers that really honestly just kind of hit home and really just made me want to, like, jump in and start something else amazing. So the one speaker was Tony, and I should actually know his last name, and I don't.
Jessica, did you hit mute by mistake? Or did you knock yourself off? Jessica, I think she knocked off. I'm not seeing her on the list. Okay.
I don't see her on.
Yeah. Well, she will come back on. She will finish. Anyone want to take that comment on? Has anyone been to a AFB or a NFB conference? They want to pick up on that comment?
Well, I have reached out to the NFB in Georgia, actually, to try to get involved, and I never got a response back. To the president.
Did you try reaching out to the national group?
I it just said reach out to your state representative. So I did, and I never heard anything back.
This is Martina. I'm going to the NFB in New Orleans in July.
Awesome. Are you involved in your state chapter, Martina? And I see Jessica Loomer's back, so I'll let her pick it up from there. Jessica, we were talking about people who are locally in those groups. Glad you're back.
Oh, awesome. So sorry. Yeah, that's awesome. Technology is the best. Were you guys in the middle of a sentence before I jump back in?
Martina was telling us that she is going to the NFB conference in New Orleans, and I was asking if she's involved in her local chapter. Jessica Knight mentioned that she tried to reach her Georgia chapter, but they didn't answer her. That's kind of where we were.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think there's so much value to really kind of looking at things that are local and being able to cross share it, you know, between NFB and AFB and ACB and different things like that, to be able to bring the information they're sharing back to the LH1 community and vice versa. So what was really cool about this week is that, so the one speaker that I listened to, I'm getting a little bit of feedback from someone that's dialing. But one of the cool things was Tony, and he actually was the one that wrote the ADA law. And just kind of hearing about his journey, what was really interesting, so he's not blind or visually impaired, but he has epilepsy. And kind of talking about along the same lines of people having stigmas and stereotypes of somebody with a air quote disability, you know, and he struggled getting a job. He was at the top of his class. He did not have great family support. And there are so many parts of the conversation that like us within like the large general population could relate to, but especially, I mean, obviously it hit home for me when he struggled to find a job and was qualified and was educated and could do it. And just kind of talked about how he had a person, and the person actually that believed in him was Bob Hope, the comedian. And he lived with Bob Hope and his family for over a year. And Bob was that person in his life that was his mentor that believed in him and pushed him forward and said, like, this is what you belong to do. You are a politician. You get the right back up every single time you're pushed down. And just like the strength in his communication style and different things. And it's exactly true. I mean, I believe Tony is probably, I'm going to guess, is in his mid 70s at this point, still working, still looking to fight, still looking to refine the ADA law, and especially as it considers digital accessibility within the like web space. So just to kind of hear his journey of, gosh, I mean, the ADA was written years ago, but still the fight that he had to get to and how accessibility has consistently evolved from curb cuts to which is the common one always brought up, but the ramps and physical accessibility and things like that. But also then how does he believe that the ADA encompasses digital accessibility? And the answer is yes. We can hear you.
Wayne, not trying to call you out, but that's coming from your line, my friend.
Sorry, Wayne.
Goodness. Hey. Sorry.
No worries. So that was really cool. It was great to be kind of immersed in this, like, and this great culture of just kind of looking to get pushed forward. But also these leaders that all spoke this past week were real. Like it, I mean, in the sense that, yeah, they've been pushed down many times and told no, and the door closed in front of their faces. And just kind of sharing their relentless behavior of really making big changes. And honestly, like what an honor to be in the same room for the man that wrote the ADA law and how he pushed that forward and how many times he was told no through Senate and through various like levels of approval, and just consistently stood up to him and said no. And the how many times that he had the opportunity to meet different people to influence them, and everyone was able to, a lot of people reach out to him and said, I love what you're doing. My mom has a disability. My son is visually impaired. Like everyone had some sort of connection. And that's what was really cool, because at the end of the day, you have to humanize it, right? We have to make sure that we're bringing it back to us, what we want to do. We want to accomplish so much. So it was really cool. It was such an inspiring speech. I was super pumped. I was empowered. It was really cool to hear from like a fantastic leader and hear his true honest story. And I think these are the kind of spaces you get to hear that sort of thing. So that was really cool. The other one that I thought would just like honestly rock my world, his name is Russell. His title is something crazy, like senior director of global something, something inclusion, something, but he's also, visually impaired and he works at Walmart. And he started as a, he lost vision in the middle of his career. So that was like, cool. Like I get that. So it definitely resonated with me. And he started working at Walmart as a checkout person, and has successfully continued to grow. And it was really cool to hear that, like, often you don't hear about companies, people staying with companies for 25, 30 years at this point anymore, because it's not typical as much. But he said, I've never felt like it was better for me to lose vision than with another company than Walmart, as they supported me, my growth from where I started as a checkout guy and how I've grown and excelled my career to corporate and being able to really make a difference, and just kind of shared that, like, what his values are and looking for a company that aligned with the values that he had and wanted to be able to excel and push himself forward with whatever that meant, and being able to kind of have that space to grow. And he found that at Walmart and Sam's Club. So it was really cool to kind of hear both of their stories, obviously very different, but both people with disabilities that are just doing badass things. But it wasn't, I mean, it's not always like things are like, oh, this is amazing, this company is great, and I've had the best life. But it's not like that, because life does get hard, right? Like, and for these leaders to be able to consistently for the last 2 days, there were 6 speakers each day for leaders to get up in front of hundreds of people and share their true story. So I share all of this just because it was such a cool impact. I feel like I'm just came back really exhausted, but super like empowered all at the same time, and just energized by hearing it from other people. And there was everybody from interns that were getting hired for jobs to like SVPs. The range was huge, but the group was actually small enough that you're able to network. So I was able to talk to probably most people. And that's what was really cool, because if it's such a small group, and I bring all this up just because there is so much value. I mean, gosh, I love all of our regional groups, and that's where there's so much value to be able to lean into your regional groups and get to know your area and like the tips and tricks within our regions. But also, maybe there's opportunity to kind of for us to lean into like AFB, the NFBs, other organizations that I'm hoping you guys can share that you have joined and how they've made an impact, so we can be able to kind of cross share that with our LHLN community. Because, right, I mean, knowledge is power. The more that we are able to like learn from each other and grow and be like cross-pollinate in different groups, that we're all here for the same mission. We're all here to support each other and keep pushing each other forward, the more that we can be able to pass on. And so I thought that was so cool. And so, yeah, I just wanted to be able to kind of share that experience and open it up now. If anyone wants to share, what other organizations are you guys involved in, and how can we be able to share that information that you're learning? And *6 on mute.
This is Howard. I belong to and went to the Bay State Council of the Blind, which is part of the ACB. And I think that's a very good, you know, ACB and NFB, all these are very good things to be part of locally, because you get the most local information and what's going on.
Oh, Howard, can you also share your involvement with Perkins and how you kind of jump in and help with mentoring?
Sure. Perkins Library is a great resource. And I don't think it's just for Massachusetts, but I just heard a presentation from them. They have, 21,000 patrons that get books for the players, or on NLS Bard. But anyway, I've gotten involved with some mentoring with MIT and some people doing blind devices for the blind. And I brought those people to the Perkins Library and met with people there to help guide those students doing the projects. So that's a lot of interesting fun. And also at the Carroll Center, there's a lot of things that go on that are interesting. So it's good to find your local places and get involved.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Howard. Anybody else? What else are you guys involved in?
Hey, Jessica, it's Paul Laurie from Northern California.
Hey, Paul.
So yeah, I'm involved in NFB's San Francisco chapter. I probably only have been involved with it for about the last 8 months or so, but it was, for me, unlike Jessica, I think in Georgia, it was very easy to, access the chapter and it's a $10 a year dues. And I get a lot out of it. And being you then also get a lot of NFB NFB national, newsletter information via email. So I think there's a lot of benefit in that. I'm sure other people on the call, get those same news feeds or, email feeds about, various things that are going on in the NFB community. And I also participate in a kind of a neat low vision, regional low vision group that is spawned out of a low vision clinic at the University of California, Berkeley. And most of the people in this group are older women, and they a lot of them have macular degeneration, but clearly the clinic is trying to get more male participants and people with other low vision conditions into the group. And I would say it's probably a group of maybe 40 people at max, but I love this little regional group of people. And there's a lot, I feel like I've brought a lot to the group, and we're doing some things that we've done similarly in the, LHON California group of trying to put together like a trifold brochure that can go to local ophthalmologists for people who have recently received a diagnosis of some type of low vision or blindness condition, just to sort of get them started on their journey. And I do also two other things that I do is I do participate in the UMDF's adult group. It's a bit heavy. But I do occasionally dial into their calls, and now there's a UMDF Adult California group. It has probably just a handful of members right now, but I really like that group as well.
Oh, that's cool. That is really cool.
Paul, it's Felissa. You said that the UMDF group adult is heavy, and I know what you mean. I don't know if everyone else does. Can you just like say it in two sentences?
Let's just say that my condition or having LHON and the related health conditions I have are probably the lightest of all the group members in that group. Does that come across clearly?
Thank you.
That's awesome, though. Great involvement, Paul. That's huge. Ooh, and I think someone has a bird.
It's not us.
I think it's Jules. I think it's an Australian bird. Am I right, Jules? I'm loving this.
Am I not muted?
I think you're not muted, and I think you've got a bird in the background. Am I right?
Sorry, I thought I was muted.
Don't be sorry. It just started singing, and I'm thinking only in Australia. I think it's great we have an Australian person on the call, because I don't know if that's a home-based bird or outside your window, but am I right?
It's actually an Indian ringneck, so it's not Australian at all.
Oh, shows what I know, but still, it's awesome.
Sounds beautiful.
Oh, I will meet though.
No worries. I love some bird interruptions. What else? What about like non-blind visually impaired organizations? Are you guys in that really have kind of made an impact to really kind of help you? I guess the example I would share is that I joined Toastmasters, and I say often and so they actually kind of are helping me as I do a lot of presentations now for work and do different organizations of kind of public speaking. So I joined Toastmasters to be able to kind of work on that. And it was interesting because I was able to kind of teach them a little bit of, because they'll normally make like hand gestures or does something kind of weird in the sense of like, oh, you said it again. Like you said, and, or, and I know that sometimes they've now used a clicker, like a dog clicker, but I say that with love. I'm not offended by it. But what, like we use different things in order to be able to kind of help us all be on the same page and learn together. So anything else that someone's other organizations people are part of that have really helped them?
Jessica, it's Maria. Speaking of Toastmasters, something I've always wanted to join, but I actually did it was 11 or 12 week course, and it was called Speaking with Confidence. And it is actually done over Zoom. And I did it over pandemic, and it's run by two women who are blind and a guy who's not blind. And so what was great is that you had already the blind factor in there. So they knew, you know, how to work, you know, or how to talk with someone who was blind. And there were a couple other folks in the group who were blind, and there were sighted people as well. And I learned quite a bit actually that I, you know, some things that I do that I never, ever, ever heard me do, but turns out I did. Oh, okay. And, you know, the ands and the ums, and they count the ands and the ums because both of them have been through, both of the folks that are all three of them that run the group have been through Toastmasters. So they get it. And they actually said there was a Toastmasters that was like a visually impaired group. But it met on Saturdays, and it was just kind of a weird time, but I never followed up on that, and maybe I should. But it was, I gave four speeches that, you know, I spoke it out, you know, told it on different topics, different ways, and then each of them gave me feedback, good, bad, and ugly, and it was great. It was really great, and it was something like $50. It was really not a lot for 12 weeks. So I'll find out when they're going to do the next one or when they're planning one, and I'll post it in the group, because if anyone's interested, it's kind of just a little taste of Toastmasters, but not as hardcore as I know Toastmasters can be. So that was really a fun experience for me, for sure. Excuse me.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, definitely keep us posted on that, because I would be interested in that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should I say anything about the mentor program that, you know, focus on mind, body, spirit, that's free for anyone with a mobility limitation, or just wait on that?
I think we should wait till we have the blind visually impaired one rolled out. I think that might be helpful. Then we can kind of kick it all off at once.
Okay.
Sounds I was like, good. Teaser, I'll match you soon though.
And just real quick, I'm realizing that one thing that's different this call is usually Andy's in charge of hitting the record button and he hits mute all. So you're all used to being muted. So that's why I'm realizing it's my fault. I didn't do that in the beginning and now I don't want to do it because I know some people have trouble unmuting. So anyways, I'm not going to hit the mute all at this point. It's silly. We're having conversation and forgive me when I call people out to tell them that Megan, for instance, you're not muted. So with love.
Sorry, I have the hiccups right now.
No worries.
At least nobody has a bird there, right?
Excuse me, it's Linda from Pennsylvania. I was just wondering if we could just turn back the channel just a little bit. And the gentleman that was speaking, I'm sorry, I didn't know your name, but you mentioned LHON and the health issues that are related to that. Couldn't you, or would you be willing to elaborate on what those health issues are that are related to it?
Hey, Lisa, do you think that's me, Paul, from mentioning the UMDF?
Yes, I think it was you. And okay. I don't know if that's appropriate, but if you don't mind my asking.
So I think what you might be referring to is the United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation, UMDF, they have an adult call. In fact, it's tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it's really for anybody with a mitochondrial condition, family members, relatives, I think friends and partners, whatever, could even call in, caregivers of all types could call into this. But it is for anybody with any type of mitochondrial health condition or even suspected mitochondrial health condition, whether or not you've had it, for instance, genetically tested and confirmed, you could have a suspected mitochondrial condition and be part of this group or, be involved in the UMDF's programs. So that I've gained a lot of information personally about mitochondrial conditions to understand my own health issues, but also just to understand mitochondrial conditions as they relate to LHON, just to be a better participant in this group and other groups. So, but maybe I could clarify things just a little more. There are some really debilitating mitochondrial conditions out there. And on a scale of seriousness, some people with, LHON might be on the lower side of the scale of health conditions, in the mitochondrial field of conditions.
Yeah, totally. Well said, Paul.
Okay. I guess where I was going, or perhaps I misunderstood, I'm experiencing some other issues and I've heard perhaps heart issues may be connected. And I was just wondering specifically if you had things other than sightedness that you've been affected with. And so I was just wondering what those things were.
Yes.
And I thought that's what you were geared toward in what you said, but I may have misunderstood.
No, I think you're on the right track. And I definitely wanted to educate myself more so that I could advocate for myself and talk to doctors better about, because you know that you can't, other than maybe a neuro-ophthalmologist, you can't go to doctors outside of the ophthalmology field and start throwing out LHON and mitochondrial conditions and have them necessarily understand that this all could, other medical issues could be related to mitochondrial thing. So yes, it has made me understand and be better at discussing these health issues with with other doctors, and I have been more successful in getting, you know, I think the health benefits and you know the health advice that I need from my medical providers.
Certainly, and knowledge is power, and I guess I'm looking for the comma, and specifically, are you just open to anything, or are you having any specific side effects that you might think are related? I'm wondering what those might be.
So yes, I do have other things that I now know and have sort of been confirmed are probably related to having a mitochondrial condition. Yes.
But Linda, this is a recorded call, and I don't think any particular individual would really want to be disclosing their own personal symptoms on a call like this.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's okay. I didn't mean to pry.
No, I know. We understand your intent, and I don't mean to slow you down. I just wanted to give Paul the opportunity to, you know, honestly answer your question without going too far. But what I will say, Linda, is that, you know, generally speaking, if you look on the LHONplus.org website or the LHONplus Facebook group, but if you can find a buddy to help you go on there one day, there's a talk. There have been several talks at several of the conferences, and we've had doctors who specialize in mitochondrial disease, and they've talked about the wide range of symptoms that might be connected and might not. And, you know, you'll hear them talk about things like tremors or migraine or peripheral neuropathy, but they don't, like Paul was saying, there aren't a lot of doctors that focus on this. So we've tried to get the mitochondrial doctors who, like he said, are usually dealing with patients with a lot more symptoms. We're fortunately, most of this community tends to have mild symptoms, fortunately, but then people aren't focusing on it. And then the neuro-ophthalmologists who are focusing on our vision issues aren't usually dealing with that stuff. So that's what Paul's saying, is we're sort of stuck in the middle. But we do, for instance, the LHON Plus group does get together every few months, and we don't record it, but we talk about all the symptoms that could possibly be connected. And then, like I said, there are several recordings that I can point you to if you have trouble getting there technically, but there we've had several mito docs talk about it. So hopefully that's helpful.
There's a
Thank
lot
you
of
so
great-
much. And I apologize if I was overstepping or prying or
Linda, thank you. First of all, yeah, this is Paul again. No problem. We can also connect, one-on-one offline, and I'd be more than willing to share my experience with you. But the UMDF's adult programs and just in general UMDF, I mean, they really do have a lot of great sessions. They ask the mito doc stuff. I've gotten a lot of good benefits out of some of those programs, whether I attend them live or just get the recordings afterwards. But I sign up for them when the topic is relevant to something that, you know, might be associated with my health situation.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's like, no, that's awesome, you too, because what's the perfect thing is that this is our first year we're 100% aligning with all the different sessions that the UMDF is offering for conference. So it's kind of like once you're jumping into conference, when you come this year, there are a lot of sessions that actually overlap or kind of cross-pollinate between UMDF and LHON, because, you know, at the end of the day, we are a mitochondrial disease. So how can we kind of make sure that knowledge is crossed everywhere we can? So conference will be huge for that. These same opportunities that you were just talking about with Ask the Mito Doc and having different panels, not just LHON, it's also UMDF. And so how can we kind of open up that floodgate of information? And it's right there at conference. So it's perfect plug for me. So thank you.
Do you think the UMDF would have any problems with somebody from Australia joining in with that sort of thing? I mean, like, we have the Australian Mitochondrial Foundation, but they don't really do anything like that.
The adult call, the once a month adult call has people from internationally.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, great information. I love it.
And actually, personally, just one opinion, but like Jules, I do hope you join sometimes on that. And Paul, I think it's awesome that you do, because like Jessica was saying, in reference to the conference, the way we've done it in the past is very much the LHON meeting was over here and the MITO stuff's going on over there. And, you know, we have a little bit of back and forth, but not so much. And I think ultimately the more this group's knowledge about LHON as a mitochondrial disease gets elevated, the more empowered we are to help ourselves, kind of as you were saying, when you meet with health professionals, they're still the doctors, but they're, you know, you're learning more about this disease and its potential, you know, implications. And then when we go to a conference at UMDF, you know, the more, or if they have those calls, if our group doesn't participate, well, then they kind of forget about us. So the more of us that participate in those conversations, it reminds them also that this disease, while different from the others, is still, you know, a mitochondrial disease. So the more the merrier. So Jules, I hope you do it. And Paul, I'm glad you're doing it. And anyone else who finds it interesting, I think, but again, just knowing that people have different ranges of symptoms and you'll encounter them all. Like for instance, when I first went to an NFB group locally, and honestly, I was, it was difficult for me to be in that environment because at that time, my son's vision loss was relatively mild. And I went to an NFB thing and there were a lot of people who were further along the continuum and it took my breath away and I had to adjust. Maybe it's the same thing on the MITO side too, in terms of symptoms.
Lisa or Paul, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Is the phone number for that phone call the same as this phone number?
It's not. I don't know what the number is. Paul would know, but I don't know offhand. But I know it's not this one. Well, I think it's not this one. Is it, Paul?
Maybe it is not. It is not. I don't think it is. I certainly can forward the email to anybody who's interested in participating in tomorrow night's call. I don't know how, maybe Lisa, you and I can chat offline of how we could possibly put that out if anybody's interested in it, because Margaret Moore, who runs this call, does an outstanding job. And I think she knows Jessica Loomer and she knows Lisa, obviously, but she would welcome more people from the LHON community into the UMDF adult group.
Yeah, Paul, if you send it I can put it in the comments for this in Facebook and anyone else can ask me. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Okay.
No, I
can't. I'll do that.
I do get emails from Margaret Moore. Yes. I'll watch for that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, can I agree with more of that? Like Margaret Moore is fantastic. So a great sister organization / parent organization of us, that's really would be beneficial. So highly recommend. What other tools are you guys seeing out there that has been really helpful for you guys? I think this is awesome.
Jessica, it's Maria again. One of the things that I got involved with, you know, early on with my vision loss, you know, maybe a year in or so, is that I finally kind of warmed up to the fact of going to one of the local blind organizations. Actually, I went to both of them. We are very lucky. We have two in San Diego. And I went to both of them for very different reasons. One of them I went to because they had counseling and group therapy, which I attended for a very long time weekly. And then the other one was one that offered, you know, skills, cooking, you know, iPad, you know, iPhone, you know, all the things, you know, you can learn to knit, you can do, you know, you can learn to draw, you know, all the things you can learn to do blind. And they had the low vision specialist. They also had a counselor after a while. But where I'm going with this is that I started to really feel comfortable there. And I wasn't comfortable at first. Maybe a little like Lissa said, you walk in, you're like, whoa, people of varying degrees of blindness, from born blind and total blind to people who had just lost vision. And I think in these organizations, which, you know, pretty much every state has them, a lot of big cities have them, Lighthouse, whatnot. You start as a student and then you start to really grow. You start to feel more independent. You start to feel, I got this. You start to meet people. You start to network. And all of a sudden, you become a volunteer. And that's what I did, is I actually became a volunteer. I attended a couple classes, but then I volunteered and taught classes. And what was great about being able to do that was, and I was teaching nutrition and physical and health and fitness. And because I was a group fitness instructor and all of those things, I knew how to teach that topic, but now I was visually impaired blind. I knew how to teach it to blind people. So it was a great experience. I'm still friends with a group of folks that I met there, but it's kind of, you can also kind of go through that transformation and become volunteers in some of these blind organizations. The best part was, is when new people came in, I knew how they felt and I could actually hope. And I hope that I could make them comfortable that it's going to be okay. You're in the right place. It's scary now. All of those things that I felt, I'm so big on, you're not alone here. It's going to take a while to get adjusted. No one really did that for me when I walked in, and I always learned from that. I think, you know, what would be helpful. And I actually started a small, and I don't know if they still do it, like a little ambassador buddy program. So when there was a new person, they picked somebody that could be their buddy their first day, because it's really quite scary to go into these organizations and you're the new blind kid and you don't know anyone. It's like going to school for the first, you know, kindergarten the first day. So that's another opportunity that if you're feeling like you're that, you know, that person that could take on a volunteer job, I think they're always looking for volunteers to go in and help in the classrooms, to be assistant. But, I think for a lot of us who lost vision at a later age, we have a little advantage there that we understand a lot of things because we were sighted, but then we have come to an understanding of how things are because now we're blind. So we have kind of these two worlds of knowledge that we can bring to the table to some of these students as far as assistants and volunteers. So there's an idea too, if people are looking for ideas of what to do. Giving is such a, is so fulfilling. And I think, you know, everyone needs to be of service somehow. So that's an idea.
And Maria, I would even say that, like, even though you were thinking about giving, but also you were receiving as well, because as you were probably teaching your class, you probably had to teach it a little bit differently than you would have normally in your normal gym studio. So you had to say like something a little bit different, which kind of probably taught you something of like, how do you change up your teaching to be able to kind of make it, for lack of better words, for all of my designers out there, but like universal design, so everybody could appreciate it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, so I could do that because I knew what a blind person needed for that particular session class, because, I was now blind. So, it was a challenge. For sure. It was an absolute challenge. And like I said, a lot of the people who were born blind taught me so much on how do they describe colors? You know, some of my closest girlfriends, you know, I ask them, describe pink, and they just go, but you ask someone who's been blind since birth and they'll describe pink all day long. And it totally makes sense. I learned a lot from just going to some of these rehab blind organizations, School for the Blind, that the folks who had been going for a long time could really teach me things that really no class could teach me either. They were riding in Ubers, you know, and I was like, oh God, no, you know, I just can't do that. And they were taking paratransit. I'm like, no, I can't do that. But they encouraged me and said, yes, you can. We all do it. I'm like, okay, maybe I can. You know, it's things like that. That's the stuff they don't teach you in class. But again, once you get the confidence and you are a person who loves to be of service. And again, yes, I get a lot out of it as well. I think becoming a volunteer at one of the local blind organizations or blind services is a great opportunity. I think like Howard's kind of doing that too. So that's one way I think to get involved.
Yeah, great.
Local level, you know.
And I know we have some people, I'll call it out. We have people of all ages, I would say, on this call right now. So another cool thing that I learned this week is that AFB and Disability Again, two large organizations, have mentoring programs. So whether you're looking to be a mentor and you're a little bit farther down in your blindness journey, or you're looking to be mentee or to be the mentee and have a mentor, that's also kind of an opportunity too, to be able to reach out and to be able to connect with other people. There's so much cool value. Like we are each other's family, but it's always nice to be able to reach out and have other blind friends. We'll always be your family, but you know, it's always good to kind of keep it mixed and be able to kind of get everybody else's perspectives, because I learned so much from my other blind coworkers and things like that, of tips and tricks that I haven't thought of. And so I think that's what's cool, that I challenge us to be able to bring some of those cool tips and tricks back to our community so we can kind of begin to learn and excel and grow from each other. What else? What else do you guys think? All right, well, I'm actually gonna go. I think it'll be best. I'm actually gonna turn off ask Alyssa to turn off the recording for us. Does not mean I don't want anyone to hang up, but I think it'd be an awesome opportunity to, now that we've been an hour in and shared a ton of cool resources, to be able to kind of have a chance to open it up on the non-recorded line.